Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Rubicon Research Q3 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Tushar.
Thank you, Swapnali. Myself, Tushar, from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. I cover pharma and healthcare here. Welcome you all for the 3Q FY26 results earnings call of Rubicon Research Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Parag Sachdevi, CEO, Mr. Nitin Jajodia, Sagar Oak, Senior Vice President, Corporate Development and Strategy. So over to you, to the management for the opening comments.
Hey, thanks, Tushar. This is Parag here from Rubicon. Along with me is Sagar and Nitin. Nitin is the CFO, and Sagar heads corporate development and strategy. Thanks, everyone, for the earnings call. I'll ask Nitin to just take us through the financial highlights, and then I'll come back on the commentary around the numbers.
Thanks, Parag. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rubicon Research earnings call for the third quarter. I'll take you through the financial performance. So I'm on the slide five. For the third quarter, our revenue from operations was 476 crore, which was up by 52% versus the same quarter previous year. EBITDA was at 112 crore, which was up by 59% versus the previous year same quarter. And profit after tax was 73 crore, which was up by 91% versus the same quarter previous year. Moving on to the slide number six, on summary income statement, I'll take you through the key numbers. Our Q1 growth was significantly higher than our H1 growth. So H1, we grew at 25%. For the third quarter, our gross profit was at 313 crore, which was 49% up versus the previous quarter. Our pre-R&D operating EBITDA was 160 crore, which was 33.7% of our revenue. Our R&D expense for the quarter was 52 crore, which was 11% of our revenue and was in line with our guidance for the R&D expense. Our operating EBITDA margin was at 22.7%, and our EBITDA after other income was 112 crore, which was 23.5% of revenue and up by 59%. Our PAT was 73 crore, and our EPS was 4.41 rupees per share. On a YTD basis, for the first nine months, our revenue was 1,240 crore, which was up by 34%. Our gross profit was 833 crore, up by 29%. Our pre-R&D EBITDA was 416 crore, which was 33.5% on a YTD basis. Our R&D expense for the first nine months was 134 crore, which was 10.8%, and in line with our guidance on R&D front, 10%-11%. Operating EBITDA for nine months was 282 crore, up by 47%, and translated into 22.7% operating EBITDA margin on a YTD level. And after other income, EBITDA was 287 crore, translating into 23.1% of EBITDA. And on a YTD level, PAT was 170 crore, up by 73%. And on a YTD level, our EPS was 10.67 rupees per share. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 7 on summary balance sheet. As on 31st of December, our shareholders fund was 1194 crores. It was up versus March, primarily driven by IPO proceeds. Our borrowings were at 285 crores versus 393 crores as on 31st of March, and reduction was primarily driven by repayment in debt. Fixed assets increased to 550 crores, driven by our investment in or the acquisition of manufacturing facility at Pithampur, plus close to 70 crore additional capex. Our cash reserve was at 334 crore, which gives us a dry powder for our inorganic growth aspiration. And our working capital, net working capital as on 31st of December was 607 crore, translating to 132 days of net working capital, which was broadly in line with the March number, which was at 137 crore. In working capital, if you look at our inventory was at 685 crore. Here, I would like to draw your attention that our inventory, which is slightly on a higher side, needs to be seen in conjunction with our faster growth rate. For us, inventory is our fuel for growth, and inventory is forward-looking. And in this inventory, if I look at the inventory which is for recent launches and the upcoming launches, so 25 to 30% of the inventory will be towards the recent or the expected launches. And if you look at our ROCE, despite this higher inventory level, our ROCE is at 34%, which demonstrates our laser sharp focus on capital efficiency as an organization. And this ROCE has also improved versus March 25 as well as the previous quarter. Moving on to the next slide on cash flow statement. Our net cash flow from operating activities for the quarter was 35 crore. This 35 crore cash from operation was after payment of 46 crore of income tax in the previous quarter versus 12 crore in the H1. So if you look at the cash from operation before tax, it was at 81 crore for the quarter, which was a healthy cash generation. And if you look at our net cash flow on a YTD level, it was 140 crore. On a YTD level, our cash flow in investment activity was 340 crore. This 340 crore comprises 149 crore investment behind Pithampur plant acquisition, capex of 70 crore, bank deposits of 87 crore, and our investment in Gen 1 Life Science of 18 crore. Our cash flow from financing activities of 326 crore on a YTD level was primarily driven by IPO proceeds of 478 crore and net debt repayment of 116 crore. So these were our key financial numbers. With this, I hand over the mic to Parag, and he'll take us to the performance for the quarter.
Hey, thanks, Atin. So, as you see, the revenue growth, which we experienced of around 52%, is quite broad-based across both launches and our old products growing market share. Also, if you look at the concentration, which we have been we published even in the last quarter, it's been range bound, so no significant product concentration is there. If you look at the pricing, with our focus on spec specialty products, the pricing remains to be, we have seen stable. Also, if you look at the performance in terms of, because we have 98% of our revenues come from US dollars, even a dollar to dollar comparison, there is a healthy growth year on year and quarter on quarter. From a cash flow perspective, I think we are generating healthy cash flow, again reflecting our very strong focus on cash flow generation. So these are broadly, I would say, on all parameters, the business has done well, and we continue to focus to keep on doing better than what we are doing this quarter. It moves to the next slide. So this is a very important slide, and I think will give some perspective on how we look at the market, how we are looking at the demand, and how we are managing putting the capacity and its consequential impact on margin and EBITDA. So just taking a step back, you know, we acquired the Pithampur facility. We got the handover around in June of 2025. And the reason for taking over Pithampur was to actually build more capacity and also build more capability. So that we were seeing that there will be an anticipated high demand would be there and for our products, and we wanted to ensure to our existing facilities that we would have more ability to supply more of that. But and also just to remind everyone that Pithampur also produce gives us some other capabilities which we don't currently have, like high potent oncology, hormones and steroids, and a huge room for expansion. As Pithampur will, you know, we are planning, you know, we are on track to operationalizing, kind of doing all the validations by mid of 2026 calendar year. We should be able to complete that, and we expect commercialization in quarter one of CY 27. So, if you look at with what has happened in the market right now is for the demand which we had anticipated, actually our demand has even been more than what we have envisaged. And hence, even in the last quarter, I had alluded to increased outsourcing, which would pressurize gross margin, but EBITDA would remain stable. In light of this, what I would want to state is, what is the status in this quarter, or what steps have we taken? So, first, sales ramp up has been above our expectations, and also actually I would say higher than the anticipated outsourcing we had planned for. So we had planned for some outsourcing, but it is more than that. This has put pressure on the GM, but the root problem is, it's a good problem to have, because we are having more than anticipated demand, and we had to actually do more outsourcing than what we had actually invested at the start. But I want to reaffirm, as we had guided, the operating EBITDA margin would remain stable, and we stand by that. The revenue ramp-up is obviously stronger than what we have invested. So in the near term, the only way to keep the revenue growing and, you know, looking at getting that demand locked in earlier is through outsourcing, which will have gross margin negative in the near term, but in the long run, as we change the mix, it will definitely again, it will be a good you know, leverage for our Pithampur facility as it goes online to get a ready business to scale up. From 2 to 3 quarters perspective ahead, we are evaluating actually some tactical measures for our own manufacturing facilities versus outsourcing, and we'll see how they play out. And if they are play out as what we have intended, it will definitely be gross margin accretive in the light of strong revenue traction. We can move to the next slide.
Just to clarify what Parag meant, that
We plan to operationalize Pithampur facility in the middle of the current calendar year and ramp up in the quarter one of the next calendar year.
So again, this is a very important slide, I would say, as you know, Rubicon has always been a R&D company, the growth of this company. So we have a slide which talks about our R&D spend and their impact on our revenue growth. So what I was mentioning was, I think R&D has been the DNA of this company. The growth which we have experienced or continue to experience is because of the R&D, the portfolio selection, the way we do R&D on the products we have selected, and then the way we are executing on the selected products. So if you look at R&D, we look at that as investments, but obviously it goes through our P&L. So in this slide, we've tried to take some historical data and try to show how R&D investments have led to revenue growth. So I'll request Sagar to just explain that, how R&D spend is a lead indicator of our future revenue in our business.
Thanks, Parag. Good afternoon, everyone. And so, you know, we wanted to provide a little bit of color around R&D spend and how that ties into future growth. We've received questions around sort of pipeline in the previous earnings call last quarter, but we wanted to have give you some perspective in that sense. So let me explain what we have here, and we'll speak a little bit about the numbers. For any program or product program, as you can imagine, the spending of R&D and then subsequently the revenue ramp up as well spans typically over multiple years. So what we have done is we have looked at R&D spend cumulatively over a 9 quarters time frame. So if you see the first chart left of screen, you have R&D spend for 9 quarters, which is fiscal year 20, fiscal year 21, and then 1 quarter of fiscal year 22, which is totally about 165 crores. And when we look at the incremental product sale, we've compared incremental product sale over a 3 year period. So that's between fiscals 21 and 24. Now, the reason for this is this takes into account what you could, I guess, call the, you know, the overall candidate to cash flow life cycle for a product, starting from when we begin development, go through filing, review approvals. And then we've spoken previously about our sort of launch philosophy, where we want to be focused on sustainable growth. So if I look at, you know, how the numbers shape up, our revenue in fiscal year 21 was just a shade under 300 crores. That increased by about 540 crores. Now, if you compare that 540 crores to the cumulative R&D spend of 9 quarters, like I said, which is 165, that's roughly a 3.3x multiple of that R&D spend. Now, development cycles obviously run multiple periods, like I said, and therefore what we look at this is sort of on a rolling basis. So if you roll this forward and do another 3 year time frame, fiscal 22 versus 25, you're looking at revenue what that was 293 crores, that increased to about 1,262 crores. And if you compare that to the R&D spend of about 238 crores, you'll see that the productivity multiple has gone up. So this is now 4.1x for this period. And then correspondingly, looking forward to the current period, which is between fiscal 23 and 26, and just calling out here, the number that you see for fiscal 26 is, we have just taken the year-to-date December revenue number that we just reported, and we've annualized that for 12 months. So just want to give context of the fact that this is, as it says on the slide, it's arithmetic annualization. But what we are looking at is incremental revenue of you know, nearly 1280 crores between fiscals 23 and 26. And if you compare that to the R&D spend that was made in fiscals 22, 23 and Q1 of 24, that's 226 crores, and that's 5.7 times. So as you can see, you know, on these sort of rolling basis, if we look at these three time frames, The return on R&D, if you will, or the productivity of R&D has been improving consistently from sort of little more than 3x to now more than 5.5x. Now, if we look at our current R&D spend, so we are expecting confidently to keep R&D spend above 500 crores. If we look at fiscals 26, 27, and Q1 of 28 taken together. So if you take that 500 crores of R&D spend, and we believe that R&D productivity will continue to be along similar lines. So that gives you pretty strong sort of visibility in terms of directionally where the revenue is going. So I think, and also given the fact that, you know, these are programs where we already have good line of sight on what the composition is. So, you know, typically programs would have been selected and work would be in various phases on those. So it's not that it's blue sky in a sense where the makeup of that 500 crore R&D spend is not known. So taken together, I think the spend as well as the productivity that we've shown you sort of what the trend has been, they provide very strong revenue growth visibility for, you know, FY29, FY30 and even beyond that. Parag?
Hey, thanks, Kazir. I think we've gone through the financials, the key matrix for the company for this quarter. We've kind of gone through how the journey will evolve from where we are standing today. Again, the R&D engine is a key part of our business. And as mentioned, you know, though, and we've seen a good revenue traction, and we are confident of keeping the operating EBITDA in the range of 22% to 23%. And the R&D spends, again, to be around 10 to 11% of revenue for the next several years. So, just one other point which I would want to highlight is, I think from a board of directors perspective, we have appointed Dr. Pradnya Sarawde as an independent director. And one nominee, General Atlantic Director, Mr. Anand Agarwal, has stepped down. So now the board is equally comprised of there are promoter directors, there are nominees from GA, and then there are four independent directors. So the details are available, but wanted to make everyone introduce the new director to the larger audience.
And just calling out that the board of directors composition Parag just spoke about, that is on slide 21 of the deck. The remainder of the deck is more of an update on the company overview that we thought was relevant, given that we're fairly new in the listing and earning calls sort of journey. So I think with this, we will open up the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Harsh Kundani from EOS Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hi, Paragan team. Congratulations on great set of numbers. A couple of questions from my end. What is the, you know, outlook on specialty portfolio of the business? You know, where do you see this, probably a year from now contributing to your gross profit? And if that has to ramp up, how do you, you know, see the impact on gross margin? That is the first one. The second one is that thanks for the update on the Pithampur facility. As and when it does get ramped up, do you see that aiding our gross margins, and when should when should we expect that?
Yeah. So, thanks for the question. So let me first elaborate on the question was, I think, on the growth in specialty business. Is that right, Kunin?
Yes.
Yeah. So, if you see year on year, our overall revenue growth is we've grown, the overall revenue base has grown. And if you see, the specialty share of gross profit has remained in Q2 and Q3 at 31 to 32%. This is higher than 26.9%, which was there in the full year of FY25. So we have a very good pipeline, and we are very confident that the business, the composition of specialty will keep on growing, and overall, we will remain at the EBITDA range we have guided at, operating EBITDA, in the context of the discussions we've already had. So the second question is regarding the Pithampur operationalization, and I think the gross margin ratio change. As mentioned earlier, I would say that as we operationalize it in mid of 2026 and then ramp up in 27, considering how the demand has been shaping, and we are also taking some tactical measures from a portfolio perspective. It is, I don't want to right now comment on how the GM movement would be there, but obviously these measures are being done to ensure that the GM moves in a healthy upward direction. But at the same time, as I mentioned, the 22 to 23% operating EBITDA is which we are very, very confident about. So from a business perspective, first, what we want to take care of is that we are taking care of the demand. We are not losing the demand. The faith which our customers are putting us in with us for the supply chain, we want to cater to that, so that in long term, that definitely benefits us in terms of when we are ramping up Pithampur, that demand is still locked in with us and we can quickly ramp up.
Got it. Thanks a lot, Parag.
And also one thing I would just add, just to the first question, as you look at the specialty bit, it is definitely interesting, and that's where our movement is going, our portfolio is moving towards. But at the, you even look at products which we have got an approval, like on the fluticasone, a product which there were no new approvals since 2007, and we are the third company which has got an approval both on the RX and the OTC side. So definitely, specialty pipeline, we remain confident, but I think even in products which are in the non-specialty category, we continue to see good growth and good demand from our customers.
And just to add to that, one nuance on the specialty, the way we define specialty, I think we had mentioned in the last earning call that while the definition of the specialty is static, the list of specialty products is not static. So as the Parag mentioned that our share of specialty product in the overall gross profit has been increasing, despite the fact that the revenue has been growing faster. And the way we define specialty, wherein apart from Rubicon, there's Examax, one more competition. But even if, let's say, there is more than one competition and a product does not continue to be a specialty, even then the margin profile of that product is fairly fairly healthy. So from that perspective, I think there's a nuance to the whole specialty piece.
Understood. Thanks, Sagar, and thanks, Parag.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. I'm referring to your slide number 11. I just wanted to understand this R&D to revenue multiplier from 3.3 to 4.1 to 5.7. So what is changing that is leading to this higher multiple every subsequent 3 years? Is it products? I mean, you are able to select better products, or you are increasing, let's say, efficiency in general and how you approach R&D. So any thoughts on why this multiplier is going up?
Sure. Thanks, Nikhil. So I think it's the, I would say, the quality of the pipeline. If you look back, to where Rubicon was 5-6 years ago, where the portfolio pipeline was, or the portfolio was predominantly generic, but the pipeline was beginning to shape up with more and more specialty drug device, and then in the last 3-4 years, even branded products coming in. So I think it's what's driving the productivity is, while we've continued doing more of the same and continuing our success on the generic product side, key elements from the business plan that have gotten added in are the specialty products, and you've seen their share sort of increase in the business over time. Drug device combinations, which are also significant revenue opportunities, despite, in cases not even being specialty like fluticasone, Parag spoke about that just now. And then branded products as well. So where we've, developed, launched last year, two branded products already in the US. So all of these, I think, are shifting the numerator in the sense for that productivity calculation. And that's, I would say, in large part driving the shift in R&D productivity upwards.
Got it. And why would this number sustain, let's say, next 3-5 years? So, I mean, if I do some rough math, you are saying that 50 crores of quarterly R&D will continue. So if let's say you were to do some 400 to 500 crore cumulative R&D over a 2 years and one quarter period, we are talking about 5.7x of that R&D number as incremental revenue. Now this will lead to your revenue base in a 5-7 year period being multifold, not just being 2x. So, I mean, why do you think this 100 will continue? Am I missing something here that basis this conversion itself, if I look out to FY31, not just double, but the revenue will be perhaps 3x?
So first of all, Nikhil, one thing, basically, we are confident that the R&D productivity will be upward of 5x. Okay. So that is...
So, Nikhil, I think it's a function of all, right? A portfolio, channel, what we are doing on, how we are selling. So it's a combination of all factors, which will, so one is selecting the right product, considering all factors, then executing it well, and then getting it to the market and the go-to-market strategy. If you put all those factors together, we, as Nitin mentioned, we are confident of not at least meeting what we are meeting currently from a multiple perspective, but even beyond that. So, and since we're only talking about, I think the idea of this slide was to just to give a sense of how our R&D is over a period of time, that has been the differentiator for us, right? So if we take R&D, portfolio selection, execution as a differentiator, we are just trying to say that how that will all transfer, all put together, and at least we have a sight of what we are doing, right? So why we, that makes us confident, at least what we have mentioned here is that a, which gives us a very strong confidence, because today what we are doing is going to be getting launched in that 29-30 phase, which we know, and nothing will change from that. So from that perspective, we feel fairly confident, and as I stand today, I think the we have been more, our pipeline is very, very exciting. I can say from any time of the years before that, I'm actually very, very excited about what kind of pipeline we are on right now. So definitely there's, we are fairly confident because of that, plus the channel, plus other innovations we are doing to ensure that we remain committed to, seeing this multiplier or the productivity impact of R&D playing out.
And okay. Nikhil, to give you some color on the pipeline, right, and without sort of moving away from our, stated dharma of not talking about specific products, I think in this case, we have a little bit of liberty because the regulatory process required us to disclose this. So if you look at some of the work as an example that we are doing on the intranasal development side, and the investment that we made in a company called called Neuronasal. Now they are working on programs for, you know, Parkinson's disease, traumatic brain injury. This is on their website, so I am, you know, I don't mind mentioning it. Now, to give you a data point, I mean, when they did a human pilot study, they found that intranasal nose to brain delivery of their drug was, and I quote, 50 times more efficient in getting to the brain than IV delivery. And that's 50 times. So for a therapy area or a disease state like Parkinson's disease, if we can combine not only sort of, you know, the right kind of molecules with the right kind of delivery, I think the potential for something like these or a program like these to be transformative is certainly there. So to your earlier question, you know, in terms of whether the growth is, I mean, that's, the numbers are, we just wanted to put out the numbers as they are, you know, today.
Got it. And just one final question, slightly more near term. So after almost a 3-4 year period of very strong growth, how do you see FY 27 and 28? Would this growth momentum continue, taper off? Any color on slightly more short term can will also be very helpful.
So Nikhil, we'll stay away from giving a specific guidance for 27-28, but I think again we remain. I think the trajectory remains strong. The demand remains strong. And that's what I can convey.
Let me put it this way, in this 3Q number of revenue, do you see any exceptional, like you said, the demand environment has been very strong. Do you foresee this demand environment waning and your current run rate kind of coming off?
No. And there's a reason, again, we go back to the mix, is the spec specialty with the non-specialty, even within non-specialty, the kind of products we have and the demand we have seen on that. And if you saw the numbers on our top 5, top 10, I think there's no concentration there that we are dependent on one product. Plus the kind of pipeline which is going to, like the near-term approvals which we are looking at. So looking at all those factors, there is no dependence on like one single hero product or a product which, if removed from the portfolio, will create a impact on the profitability of the company.
And also, let's say this outlook also factors in uncertainty around, let's say, some approval delay, competition coming in, or let's say some potential disruption on the supply, API supplier, etc. So I think those are part and parcel of business, and we factor in those while being confident about the growth trajectory.
Got it. This is helpful. Sorry, I forgot to congratulate on the great set of numbers you have delivered. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Nikhil.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ankit Shah from Canara Robeco Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the great set of numbers. So my first question again links to gross margin, and you partially touched upon it, but to just to get a sense, so last year our specialty share was 26-27% and our gross margins hovered around 71-72%. Now if we set aside the rise in outsourcing and the decline in gross margin due to that, should our gross margin on FY25 base continue to rise each year, considering that our specialty share will continue to grow incrementally? So can you get some sense on that? Yeah.
So Ankit, as we mentioned that in the near term, there has been an impact on the gross margin due to the higher outsourcing manufacturing, and as we look at the strong demand, while that reliance on the outsourced manufacturing is likely to continue, having said that, as Parag mentioned, we are also looking at some technical measure at our end, looking at the mix of in-house manufacturing, outsourced manufacturing, that should be the gross margin accretive. So that's the way we look at gross margin.
But I would just reemphasize, and which I again sorry being repetitive, I think, but we are absolutely confident of the operating EBITDA being in the 22 to 23% range. As obviously these measures we are undertaking, and again for us locking the demand, ensuring reliable supply to customer is an important priority. So we want to ensure that we remain profitable at the same time we the demand which is coming from the customer, we are able to meet that and keep customers happy and long term committed.
Right. No, what I was trying to understand was is that broadly our quality of portfolio is increasing every year, and as you earlier also highlighted that R&D productivity is also going up. So that should be margin accretive over a period. In short term, obviously there's this outsourcing impact, but once the Dampur ramps up, broadly the directionally overall margins should continue to trend up directionally. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, so as our own manufacturing comes into play, as Pithampur and other things come into play, definitely, yes, it will be directionally positive.
And then, we maintain our, let's say, once Pithampur's ramps up and our reliance on the outsourced manufacturing reduces, we are confident of going back to our earlier gross margin range of 67-68%.
Got it. That's helpful. And my second question again relates to the pipeline. So you indicated that incrementally we'll have more and more specialty and complex products. So can you give more sense on those products? I mean, are you also pursuing 505(b)(2) kind of opportunities, especially in, on the nasal side? And any field force investments would be required, or the current field force should be sufficient for any for future specialty products? Sir?
Yeah. So, Ankit, I'll not comment on product-specific details, but, you know, we focus on one, there's only one dharma we have, is to focus on unmet medical needs of patient needs. And that drives the whole innovation. Now, innovation could be in terms of dosage form, it could be in terms of a molecule, API, it could be in terms of the regulatory filing, it could be in terms of go-to-market, packing, anything. So there could be, when you look at the unmet patient needs, there are multiple things you could do to meet that requirement. And 505(b)(2) is just a regulatory pathway. So we will definitely work across spectrum to ensure that if we are convinced that this unmet patient needs exist, and it is for us, and that need is for us profitable to serve, we will definitely go ahead and execute on that plan. So I would not restrict it to say that, you know, we will do 505(b)(2) only, or we will do ANDA only, or we'll do something else. But I think we will explore all the regulatory routes and ensure that, you know, we are able to profitably grow our business and meet the unmet needs.
And, you know, Faraj, I'll just add to that if I may. Hmm. I think if we go back to the fluticasone example where, you know, we've gone 505J, ANDA, as well as, you know, OTC. Right, so we've got two routes over there. So, you know, Ankit, to your point, and as Parag said, we are very focused on getting, you know, what is right for the patient, in what is the most efficient way from a path to market perspective. And you know, 505(b)(2)s, you know, you mentioned, especially in nasal, I think it's a very interesting, it's a very, very interesting space, right, and very, very exciting, because I spoke earlier about how, you know, we are, Neuronasal has seen sort of exponentially better efficiency when it comes to delivering. But overall, if you look at nasal as a route, because you're bypassing the whole oral, you know, GI tract, liver, and you're delivering a targeted dose, potentially crossing blood-brain barrier quickly, because of which you could have potential to deliver lower doses that are as effective as sort of current oral treatments. It's a very exciting space. So I think as it continues to evolve, we will, you know, you will see that reflected in, you know, as we go along. We won't talk about specifics, but to your point, yes, we are looking at, you know, all possible avenues.
Right. And just to complete the point, so what I understand is we had some 10 MRs under Validus, which are focused on CNS doctors. So then going for more 505 products, would it require any people investments in the longer run?
So great question, right, Ankit? And, you know, our go-to-market strategy for brands is sort of based off combination feet on street as well as digital promotion. And again, it's the portfolio selection is and the path to market go closely hand in hand. I think we've said all along that portfolio discipline is something that we will maintain because, you know, we want to make sure that whatever we are bringing, we have the ability to take it to market. We evaluate that based on newer products coming in. So going forward down the line, could we look at having sort of an increase in the number of sales force? I think answer is yes. But do we see that changing dramatically for sort of the current portfolio of products? I would say answer is probably not. We may have incremental changes to sort of address coverage the way that we want. But I wouldn't think it would be a material impact on financials.
So just to add two things to that, I think if you've seen and even in the past, we built all our business in a measured way. So we will continue to build even the what I would call the branded business in a measured way with right mix of channels for promotion. And adding to that, I think when whatever the cost or, you know, if you take the people we require for promoting a certain product, all of them have been built into our projections and are part of the, you know, as when we look up at a business plan, all of that has been built in. So there is, you know, we are not randomly going and setting product and then going to make a change that, you know, now we need five, no, we need 25 people to make that change. So I think all those investments which are in the P&L and are as per our plan.
Just to add, all the required costs, whether field force, whether promotion, all of that is baked in our EBITDA guidance of 22% to 23%.
Got it, got it. That was very helpful. Thanks for your replies and all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Narottam from DT Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. So first question was that there's obviously a significant market share gain, you know, in your top 5, top 10 products. So what is it that's leading to this market share gain and how do you think about the sustainability of this trend going forward? That's question one. Second is that as people, you know, comes online, there is a positive impact on gross margin. How should we think directionally on the EBITDA margin front, you know, as more manufacturing moves in-house? So those would be my two questions.
So on the market share gain, I think we don't comment on specific, it's top 5, top 10. As I said, it's been pretty broad-based and it's across our mature products and new launches. And again, the approach we have to market share building is very, very calibrated. And even if any product we look at, we definitely figure out how we want to ramp up the market share. So, and then I'll break it down. 31% of our gross profit comes from specialty, which means that at least there are products where part of those products is only 50, any our market share is anywhere between 50% to 100% because we are one of the two players at minimum. So that will give you a sense that depending on the product and how we look at that market, we continue to look at how we want to gain market share over a period of time. So just to, you know, give you the philosophy of how we look at the market share. And coming on to Pithampur and EBITDA margin, as I said, first, you know, as it gets ramped up in CY27, I think we are confident of the operating EBITDA margin of 22% to 23%, and right now we'll want to comment only up to that.
Got it. Thanks, guys, and all the best for future.
Thank you. Thanks, Narottam.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vipul Mehta from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi team, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so my first question is, like, there had been a considerable reduction in working capital days from 137 to 123. So are there any specific measures which had been taken to reduce that, and how sustainable is it going forward?
So our working capital number of days in March was 137 days.
And now it had been reduced to 123.
It's 132 days. So I think it is in that range only. So we don't see this as a considerable reduction. And I think that's the range bound working capital. That's the way we look at it.
Got it. And secondly, so there had been kind of instances of unpredictability of product approvals from regulatory authority, like for semaglutide for one of the Indian company in Canada. So, for example, for any...
Sorry, your voice is not clear. Yes. Can you repeat and go a bit slow?
Yeah, so there had been situations and issues with product approvals from regulatory authority in US and Canada. And like one of the recent being semaglutide from Canada for one of the Indian companies. So like whenever you estimate the product approval timeline, which is kind of important for understanding the product economics, how do you kind of estimate it and how do you take into consideration such unpredictability?
I think a good question. Yeah, I know there's been a lot of discussion around semaglutide Canada approval. So when our philosophy again, and we are conservative in the way we look at it, and when we look at our modeling or our long range plans, we factor in conservatism from all the external variability factors, regulatory being one, but it could be competition, it could be change in the FDA guidelines, and we have seen this over the last 5 years that FDA changes its thinking on certain things. Any market supply constraints. So you might get an approval, but the API is not available for commercializers. So when we look at all of these factors are considered when we are looking at the business plan and the commercialization plan for the product. Having said that, if you look at our work last 3 years, R&D productivity data, it has moved up from 3.3 to 5.7x. So that will give you some comfort and sense that, you know, that we factored in A, and we are well prepared for some of the anticipated queries from the FDA.
Got it. And the last question is regarding, like, so I heard a news that you had been you are thinking to expand into Saudi Arabia. So there had been a news of opening subsidiary in Saudi Arabia. So what are your expansion plan for Saudi Arabia, Europe, or any other geography beyond US in the near future?
Yeah, so obviously we are looking to expand across the global markets, and our business development team keeps on working on building our presence in other markets. So, but as on date, I think all of these plans are underway, registrations are underway. So it would not be right for me to comment on any specific market because, you know, we can't specifically say what each market will offer us. Once we have some data and sizable revenues coming from there, then probably we can definitely guide you guys on how we are looking at these markets. But our idea is to leverage our product basket of innovative products across the globe.
Got it. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as a last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the earnings call, and thanks also for the questions. We, as mentioned earlier, I think we remain confident of our growth trajectory, and look forward to speaking to you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.